Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I want to talk about Christ and the dying thief. Jesus Christ came to the earth, lived among men, and was condemned to die on Calvary's cross. The gospel accounts of Jesus' death on the cross reveals to us that he was crucified between two thieves. One thief was placed on his right hand, the second thief was placed on his left hand, and on the middle cross was Jesus Christ. All four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, mention that Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Let's read those accounts. Matthew 27:38. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. Mark 15:27-28. And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Luke 23:32-33. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. John 19:18, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. According to their record, Jesus was crucified between two thieves. These thieves had been condemned as Jesus had been condemned. And these three individuals were led to the hill of Calvary, where they would be crucified and where they would die. These two thieves railed upon Christ, even as the multitude railed upon him who had gathered beneath the cross. Individuals had come to watch Jesus die. And while he was dying upon the cross, they railed upon him, they mocked him, they scoffed him. And the record tells us that the two thieves also scoffed and mocked him, as they themselves also died in that position. Matthew 27:44, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Mark 15:32, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Jesus is being reviled. Jesus is being mocked as he died. And yet in his death, we see the disposition of Jesus. We see the character that had been displayed throughout his life and throughout his ministry. Jesus had preached great lessons on the subject of forgiveness. And even now from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord Jesus Christ requested the forgiveness of God upon those who had condemned him to die and who now gathered on the hill at the cross and scoffed, mocked, laughed, jeered at him. There has been much speculation as to why Jesus was crucified between two thieves, but that remains mere speculation. The gospel account does not tell us why these two thieves were crucified alongside Jesus and Jesus being placed upon the middle cross. The record does tell us that Jesus had been condemned by Pilate, even though Pilate confessed to the Jewish people that he was a righteous man. And two thieves were led also to that hill. Three crosses stood on the hill of Calvary. Three individuals died that day on the hill of Calvary by crucifixion. The crowd railed and scoffed upon the Christ, cursed at him, jeered at him. What hearts, what bitterness, what hatred. And these two thieves likewise did the same. But at some point, between the time that they were placed upon the cross and the time that they died, one thief confesses faith in Christ. I do not know what happened that brought him to the faith that the record presents to us, which was possessed by this thief. I do not know if it was something that Jesus said as he died upon the cross. But one of those thieves, while he was dying, confessed faith in Jesus. Luke 23:39-42. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." As these two thieves are dying, one of them confesses faith in Jesus Christ. One of them confesses that he is dying justly while Jesus is dying unjustly. This thief did not believe that Jesus was guilty of anything that was worthy of crucifixion. This thief believed that a just man was dying. He says to the other thief, "We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." In his death, he faced the crimes of his life. In his death, he came to himself. He realized before he died, as he was dying, that he needed the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood that there was nothing that he could do to escape from this death. He knew that his life was not going to be spared. And so he confesses faith in Christ. What brought him to that faith at this moment of time? I do not know. But Jesus responded to his request. When he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," Jesus gave him this promise, Luke 23:43. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Jesus promised this dying thief that this day he would be in paradise with Christ. This event has led to false beliefs. One of those beliefs is that there is no need for baptism. Baptism is a command that is taught in the religion of Christ, the will of Christ, the covenant of Christ. Baptism was given as a charge to his disciples that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel, declaring unto them, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." And throughout the history of the church, as it is recorded in the pages of the Bible, we see that those believers who heard the gospel and believed the gospel and accepted Christ as their Savior were baptized into Christ, putting on Christ and putting away their sin. But many contend that there is no need to be baptized. The command of Christ can be ignored because they believe that like this thief, they can be saved outside of baptism. We do not know whether or not this thief was baptized. We know nothing of his life before this day that he was crucified. We only know that he asked the Lord to remember him when Jesus came into his kingdom. And we know that Jesus promised him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The second false belief is deathbed repentance. This thief confessed Christ in the moment of his death. He confessed Jesus as he realized, came to the certainty that he was going to die. And so in that moment, he calls upon Christ to be remembered. The Scripture teaches us that the only moment in life that is guaranteed to us is the present moment. We're taught that we are to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and obey the gospel. And we are to do that now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. We may not have the opportunity to cry out for help in our moment of death. But these two false beliefs have arisen and have been accepted and embraced by many, many people because of this dying thief. What can we learn from the confession of this thief? What lessons, what truths can we derive from this request made by this thief? "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I believe that an understanding of this statement is essential for the salvation of my soul and your soul. I believe that we need to understand fully what this man asked of Christ and what was truly in his heart. Jesus saw a sincere belief. Jesus saw a committed faith when he made the promise to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Let's examine this thief's confession. "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." The thief believed Jesus to be Lord. He said, "Lord." Acts 2 and verse 36, Peter preached, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." Jesus was declared to be Lord by his resurrection from the dead. In his death and in his burial and in his resurrection, God declared Jesus to be Lord and Christ. He declared that he was the anointed one, the appointed one, the ordained one, who had been sent into the world to die for human sin. And when he arose from the dead, he became the Lord and he became the Christ. This is the message that Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem to this gathered audience of Jews from various nations. Jesus has been made Lord and Christ. This thief believed him to be Lord. Romans 14, 8 and 9. "For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living." Jesus is the Lord of his church. He is the Lord of his redeemed people. He is the Lord of saved believers. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome, "Saints of God, beloved in Christ Jesus," Romans 1, verse 7. And the apostle says, whether we live, we belong to the Lord. Whether we die, we belong to the Lord. Whether we're living or dying, we are the Lord's. This is the reason that Christ died. This is the reason that Christ rose and that he was revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. Those that are already dead, Jesus was their Lord. Those that are living now, Jesus is their Lord. The thief said, Lord, Jesus is to be the Lord of our life. He is to be the authority of our life. He is to be the reason that we possess the character that we possess. The truth that Jesus is Lord is the driving force of our commitment to him. He is Lord. The thief believed him to be Lord. Philippians 2:11-12. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That's the whole of God's creation. That's the totality of everything that God has created. The things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The thief confessed him to be Lord. You and I must confess Jesus as Lord. If we would be saved, if our soul would be redeemed from heaven, if we are going to dwell with Jesus in paradise, then we must believe him to be Lord. Our knee must bow to him. Our tongue must confess him. Because we are to believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. The thief believed Jesus to be Lord. The thief believed Jesus to be deity. He said, remember me when thou comest. He wanted Jesus to remember him. He believed that Jesus could remember him. And so he asked, remember me. In making that statement, he confessed that Jesus was divine. An ordinary human, dying that day, following his death, would have no memory. He would not be able to remember this thief. He would be dead. But the thief believed that Jesus was coming. Jesus, as the Son of God, was going to come. Jesus, as the Son of God, was going to triumph over death. He was going to come forth from the grave, and he is going to come again. And when he comes, the thief wanted him to remember him. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When John writes his gospel, he declares that Jesus is God. The only way that Jesus can save our soul is the truth that he is God. He was God who took upon himself human flesh. Can I fully comprehend and understand that? I think not. Can I fully and completely believe that? I can, because of faith. The thief believed Jesus to be divine. He believed that he had the power to remember him and that he was going to come. In John 14:8-9, Philip, a disciple of Christ, saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Jesus said, If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In John 10:30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Jesus came to reveal the Father, and in looking upon Christ, in hearing Christ, in beholding the miracles that Jesus performed, they saw God. They saw God in human flesh. Jesus gave us the full and complete revelation of God. He is the fullness of God, according to the Ephesian epistle. This thief believed Jesus to be deity. He believed him to be the Son of God. And so he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest." The third truth, the thief believed Jesus to be king. Into thy kingdom. The Lord was going to come into his kingdom. John 18, 36, 37, Jesus is in a conversation with Pilate, the Roman governor. And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." My kingdom is not a material earthly kingdom. My kingdom is a spiritual heavenly kingdom. For this cause I came into the world, that I might be king and that I might bear witness unto the truth. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. And much of his teaching, many of his parables that he taught, had a relationship to the kingdom of heaven. In Luke 19, 11 and 12, as they heard these things, Jesus is teaching, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem where he's going to die. He's coming to the end of his life. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, he said therefore, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." These individuals thought that the kingdom was soon to appear. They would be able to see it. It would be a visible earthly kingdom. But that's not the kingdom that Jesus was going to establish. Jesus was going to establish a heavenly kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. An eternal kingdom, not a temporal kingdom. And so Jesus, to answer their thinking, said, "A nobleman went into a far country for him to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." Jesus would go into the far country. He would go into the tomb of death. He would come forth. He would ascend to his heavenly Father. And there he would sit upon the throne of God and reign over his kingdom, the church. The thief believed Jesus to be a king. "When thou comest into thy kingdom." 1 Timothy 1:17, Paul said, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. Paul is writing to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and Jesus the Son, "that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory." When Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians, he declared unto them they had been called into his kingdom and they had been called into his glory. Here is a dying thief who confesses faith in Christ. He believed Jesus to be Lord. He believed Jesus to be deity. He believed Jesus to be king. And the New Testament bears testimony to that truth. Jesus was Lord. Jesus was divine. Jesus was king. The thief confessed his faith in Jesus Christ. And as a result of that confession, a belief in his heart that Jesus was Lord, divine, and king, Jesus promised, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Can we be saved in the same manner today? No. The reason is we live under a system of grace and truth. John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, he died under the system that had been given to Moses at Mount Sinai by the God of heaven. That system was in place until Jesus arose from the dead and the gospel was preached on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. The system of grace and truth became effective. We live under that system. We are governed by the system of grace and truth. We live under a system of grace and faith. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The system under which we live today involves grace, the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and our faith in God, our acceptance of that grace through faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. We must have faith in the system of grace. The grace of God was the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Grace is not simply a truth that is told. Grace is not simply a fact that is stated. Grace is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ saves us. God has offered, because of His graciousness and His love, salvation to those who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who will be obedient to His gospel. Now, I want to give you a biblical example of salvation under this system. This is not the system under which the thief died. This system only became effective following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This example is found in Acts 8:35-39. Philip, the evangelist, has been joined to a man who is traveling to Ethiopia. He's reading the Old Testament. And the scripture says that Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Thief believed in Jesus. Thief confessed faith in Jesus. Lord, divine, king. Philip preached Jesus. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Philip preached Jesus. The man who heard that message said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip baptized that man in water. And they came up out of the water. And that man went on his way rejoicing. I believe that the thief who heard Jesus say, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, was filled with great joy. I believe he died in great comfort because of the faith that he had expressed in Jesus Christ and the promise that Jesus had given unto him. This man in the desert of Gaza heard Philip preach Jesus, believed him, and confessed him to be the Son of God, and was baptized for the remission, the forgiveness, the purging of his sins, and went on his way rejoicing. Today, you and I can go on our way rejoicing. We believe the gospel that Christ is the Son of God, and we put him on in baptism as our sins are washed and purged, and we are in communion with Christ, and we receive the blessing of the gospel, the hope of eternal life. And even today, we can have the promise that we will share paradise with the Christ. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.